Warralilly pre-game interview.
At St Mary's alongside Glenn Keast in 2024, and he's joined us in the box, and Birchie's standing alongside him. Birchie, over to you.
Luke, so a very exciting appointment, and we've all been waiting to hear what the developments were going to be and who it was going to be. How long have you known about this and sort of kept it under wraps?
Certainly not kept under wraps, I suppose, but I guess once Robbo sort of declared that this would be his last season, I guess the club obviously looked internally initially, and the question was asked if I'd be interested, and certainly there was a strong interest there, and there's a good family connection with me for me at the club with my young fella playing, but also my daughter playing netball, so I'm going to be around the place regardless. I love the coaching side of it. I've really enjoyed my time there as a line coach. So, it was pretty straightforward in from my perspective to sort of say, yeah, I'm definitely keen and definitely interested. And then sort of process took place from there. And 3-4 weeks, whatever it was, after Robbo's announcement, we sort of came to terms and both agreed it's the right thing to do. So let's go.
Reins, congratulations. When you departed Bell Park prior to COVID, did you think you'd coach again at senior level?
Interesting one, King. Probably, I mean, I've always harboured the ambition and the passion and that sort of side of it. I guess work probably has taken a little bit of a priority over the last couple of years, given my role with the Geelong Racing Club. So I've been more than happy and more than comfortable sort of doing the line role at St Mary's again, being able to watch my young bloke week in, week out, and also just be part of a program that's, I guess, you know, certainly from a community football perspective is probably the best I've seen, just in regards to organisation and resource and I guess the driven mentality of our player group and the amount of coaches and so forth that are involved. So I think all in all, mate, it's always been there, but I think cycle of life happens sometimes, and I've popped out, you know, a couple of years in my job with the racing club and feel in a bit better position with that, and the opportunity has presented itself. I certainly haven't gone looking for it, but it's landed at a club where I was currently at. And for me, mate, it's I love coaching. I love the interaction at club level. I love the development of our young players, and St Mary's have certainly got a plethora of that. So that's something that really drives me and something I'm looking forward to.
What's the going forward? It'll be you and Keastie next year. Will you go it alone in 2025, or will that be a co-coaching set up as St Mary's have adopted? Probably, you know, going back to Rob Condy and Bryce Vincent, I think it's basically been all the way through for the last decade. There's been co-coaches. I think Troy Mitchell's was a co-coaching set up when he was at the club with Bruiser as well. So there's that's been their way. Is that what it'll be in 25 as well?
Well, I think there's certainly a bit of flexibility around what that looks like, but I'm certainly keen to continue in that sort of way. I think, you know, for me, it's, and I guess it depends where people are at professionally as well, but, you know, I'd love to share the role, and I guess that's something that will evolve maybe sort of mid to late next year. And naturally, who knows what Glenn might do. Glenn might turn around and say in 6, 7, 8 months' time, I'm keen to go again. And if that was the case, I'm sure we would just roll on as a co-coach scenario. So we'll just see how it plays out, and if we need to obviously get on the hunt and look for potentially a replacement to Glenn at that time, then we can look at that. But from a model perspective, I like it. I think it works. I think, you know, a bit of shared responsibility, a bit of freshness to the player group in terms of how you manage that's a good thing. So and naturally it's been a great success for Travis and Glenn and also the St Mary's Footy Club.
Just one, I suppose, the sentiment and the emotion that you follow in the footsteps of your great late mate, Daniel Fletcher, as well, to coach St Mary's. Has that crossed your mind at all since you took the role?
Yeah, well, I guess at the end of the day, Keed and my son got involved at St Mary's off the back of really Daniel's presence at St Mary's. Keaton came from Torquay at the time, and I think he was 14 when we spoke to St Mary's, and that was really through the connection from Daniel at the time, and obviously his involvement with the club, and for my young fella to sort of obviously, you know, push into GFL footy and play the best sort of level he could. So that was a really good connection, and yeah, it's fantastic that, you know, every time you go in the rooms after a game, you can sort of sit under Fletcher's corner with his photo there and have a beer, and it's a bit of a hats off moment.
Yeah, nice.
You obviously understand where the club's at the moment, and obviously very successful. And how do you how do you think you're going to go? And look, this is 3 weeks out from this season, so how do you think you're going to go in terms of trying to keep the group as it is now up, but also then try and replenish? You said about juniors, they've got a very good junior program, but what else do you think, how's that going to evolve, do you think?
Well, certainly not broke. So it's
nothing. That but we there's always evolution of a club and a side.
And I think that's what freshness does. And I've been there for 3 years, but now I probably just get a little bit more input, and maybe I can throw up some ideas or some thoughts that may sort of challenge the way we've done things, or may be able to sort of seek that little bit of improvement. You know, what can we do with that sort of group of core players from an ongoing leadership perspective, but also how do we continue to develop them? Like, I mean, we talk about the Jack Bloods and the Harry Bensons and the Harry Lings and these guys. They're 23, 24, 25. It's not like they're 30, 31, 32. So they've still got, in my view, a lot of improvement, a lot of development, and I think we can probably channel some more energy into that, along with obviously continuing to ensure that our younger players, so our 16, 17, 18 and now 19, 20, 21-year-olds are sort of continuing to come through the system, and that they're progressing. They're not getting stale. They're not getting stagnant. So what does the program look like for those sort of that sort of age group, and what can we do in that space? So, and I think for me, I think one of the things that I've absolutely hats off to is just how driven they are internally. And the beauty about this current player group and in my time at the club is they just don't need a lot of motivating. They're actually a fairly driven group. So, and when you're successful, everyone wants to be a part of success. Yeah. And I mean, I sit back and I can only look at two premierships I was involved in, but they're nearly the greatest two things in my life outside of my family, you know. And so some of these players might be able to create their own history and be involved in a lot of success over, hopefully, a continued journey at the club.
There's also, we spoke to Keasty and Robbo, there's always a lot of good voices around the club as well. Scott Selwood and his involvement in the team this year, and we sort of say to him that he sort of helps coach the back line from it. It must be an amazing scenario to have so many really good people from a coaching and a development perspective in the club at one time.
Yeah, I mean, we're really fortunate in regards to Scott, and I guess through his availability, but also where he has ended up playing down back, because losing Riley Hall early in the season was no doubt a real leadership blow to our back half. So Scott's certainly been able to come into that in the back half of the year, and even then just on the training track, and obviously talking through drills and the continual teachings that he's able to provide, it's absolutely beneficial. So Travis Rudd's another one that's come on board this year as an assistant coach, and has got some really good background at North Ballarat, and I spent time at the Kangaroos with Ruggie. So again, another really experienced voice that comes in, but it's fresh and it's new, and he's got some funny quirks, and it's, so I just sort of, you've just got to keep continually, you're not making wholesale changes, you're just making slight adjustments to sort of be able to keep that player group sharp and focused, but also continue to have a bloody good time,
which this
player group does, and so we should.
Warrilly speaking with incoming St Mary's co-coach Luke Rayner, he's Matty Kershaw on Carrick Footy.
Reigns, as a coach, you want to obviously, implement your own sort of things as well. You want to, come in with your ideas. Have you spoke to Keasty about, what it looks like going forward next year? As in, these are the things I want to, look at or bring in or, introduce, or is it that probably too early?
The short answer is no. I mean, I think we've got a really sharp focus and a really sharp lens on where we're at the moment. Travis Robertson and Glenn Keast are the coaches, and I am a line coach, and we've got sort of 4 weeks ahead of us where we've put in a hell of a lot of work, as the players have, as have the volunteers and the support group and so forth. So we're at the pointy end where we want to be involved in, and now it's really time to just hone in and have a pure focus on 2023. And naturally, once that dust settles, we can then sort of sit down and have a look at what 2024 might look like. So, but there's no doubt, Glenn and I think are both sort of similar in the, I think we've got good footy minds. We've been around a long time, both as players and coaches. So, and we're more than comfortable in having those conversations where we continue to challenge each other in regards to how do we make our program better? How can we get our players better? How can we keep it fresh? So, I'm sure those convos will take place.
The calendar has ticked over to September. It means October is the next month, and October provides us with the social event of the year, Range. You just subtly mentioned in there twice that you work at the Geelong Racing Club, where you're the CEO, so I suppose we better, and I want to subtly remind you, it's 53 days till the Bet365 Geelong Cup.
Lovely segue, Kingy. Absolutely. So things are certainly starting to ramp up. As you're aware, we had our cup launch last Thursday.
Good host, I hear.
Yeah, he was fair.
Works cheap.
He was all right.
Works cheap.
Well, it does work cheap. Yeah, it's amazing what you can how you can convince people to do some work these days. So, good little kickoff. So, yeah, as you say, sort of a bit under 8 weeks now until Cup. Wouldn't it be lovely to get some clear skies like we have today?
Cracking day in the marquee.
Corporate sales are going well, but there's certainly plenty of opportunity still left there in terms of on the website at grc.com.au. So feel free to jump on and come along. I'm sure it'll be a sellout, so please jump on. And the other one for me, Kingy, moving forward, is we have secured a standalone Metropolitan Saturday grade race day,
yep,
which is January 6th. So it's a little while away, but... For all the local Geelong community, along with obviously the heaving sort of tourist areas at that time of the year. And again, hopefully we get a day where it's not too hot and they're not down at the beach.
So you can have Boxing Day and Jan 6?
We're December 27 now, so okay. Boxing Day has become
December
27th.
Yeah, right.
Yep. So that was a little bit of a give and take in regards to what we had to sort of do to be able to secure the Saturday race day.
Yeah.
And so that Saturday race day will bring in about $1.4 million in prize money on the track.
Wow.
More than the Cup?
Yes.
More than Cup Day?
Yeah, it is more than Cup Day. So it's a significant day for the stakeholder. It's a significant day for the industry participant.
Mm.
And we are going to sort of mix it up. Won't go too early on sort of what's available on that day, but it'll be very much not a Geelong Cup sort of type theme where it's more corporate and business focused. It'll be very much the tourist, the casual, the relaxed. Please wear your boardies, please wear your thongs, please wear your shirts, please wear your summer dresses, all that sort of type thing. Very chilled, very relaxed, but there'll be a heap for everyone to do, families, kids, mates and so forth. So, yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for our club, and it's an event that we'll have to build really, really well over the initial 3 to 5 years, and then hopefully that'll help, offset the reliability on Geelong Cup solely.
Fantastic. Reigns, doing a power of work there, but congratulations, co-coach. Again, you and I have been dealing with each other for a heck of a long time. Back to your Myrtleford days was when we first crossed paths. What's Dustin McKenna up to these days, your former full forward up there? He was a star. Rain's got him and a bloke called Ronnie Skender over from West Perth, and we got to a grand final. I think it was Myrtleford's first grand final in 31 years.
Yep.
Fell short of Lavington from memory.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, and, Dustin McKenna Hoffman, what a unit he was. He was just one of those sort of 6 foot barrel chested full forwards, which were probably a bit more prominent back in those days. But boy, could he play! He certainly knew where the goals were. He was a playful character off the field, so that had its challenges. But
playful character,
but,
I like that.
But no, great man. And big Ronnie Sander came over from West Perth. That was my connection with Ronnie, and along with the Rigold twins.
That's right.
Which helped sort of bolster that 2001.
Chris
team.
Was Chris one? Was it Chris Rigold?
Kim was the numero uno, and Chris was his offset twin brother that with slightly less talent. But
are we talking 20 odd years ago here?
Yeah, it's great.
2001. Yeah, 2001. That was my first coaching appointment, 2000 at Myrtleford. So, it's been a long journey, but it's as you guys look at the three of you guys, you're still heavily involved in footy, and you do it because you love it. You do it because you enjoy it, and it's no different to us at Coachland. We continue to stay involved because it's what we enjoy doing.
Absolutely, Reigns. Congratulations on your appointment. Good luck with what unfolds over September, but also October and into summer for the Geelong Racing Club. It's always a pleasure to talk footy and racing with you, and enjoy your Saturday afternoon, and good luck with the Father's Day race meet tomorrow out at GRC.
Thanks, gents. And listen, I'm going to take the opportunity just to give you guys a shout-out with K-Rock Football. I think from a local level, there is no better. And I think our community football is so much richer to be able to have some coverage and some continuity in terms of ensuring that our game sort of stays in the papers, stays on the radio, stays across Twitter and so forth. So well done to you guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. Enjoy your afternoon. Luke Rayner joining us. Thanks to Warra Lilly.
Warra Lilly pre-game interview.